This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, everybody? It's me, your boy, Jay Mack, here on Straight Fire for Friday, February 12th, Valentine's weekend. First weekend, no football to at least look forward to. I know there was a break between the AFC, NFC title games and the Super Bowl, but you could at least look forward to the Super Bowl. Now, nothing on the horizon. Maybe some trades. That's all exciting. But this weekend, I'm sure you guys will spend it with your loved ones. Listen, I'm not going to add to the Urban Stems promo, but I did order from there four times earlier this week. The wife, the mom, the mother-in-law, and the stepmother-in-law, all of them got flowers. You got to deliver. I hope you guys got up on it. Got a lot of feedback on the BJ Armstrong interview from Thursday. Very spirited responses, I shall say. The DM inbox filled up. And listen, I can't reply to all the DMs, guys. But as I did earlier this week, I will shout people out. You know, you guys hit me up. You're listening. You're subscribing, rating, and reviewing. I mean, yeah, I like the takes. Sometimes you guys hit me with some interesting stuff. Not always. Sometimes I get some really dumb stuff. Not, no lie, I'm keeping it 100 with you guys. A couple stories to get to, but I wanted to start the podcast with a little piece of news. Not huge, but on Monday morning, if you turn on your TV East Coast time 6:30, I will be hosting First Things First with Chris Broussard, friend of the podcast, obviously Rob G's guy from The Odd Couple. I will be doing the show from L.A., and you know that 6:30 Eastern means early as shit out here in L.A., but I'm very excited. I've never done the show before, so I'm fired up to host it with my guy, Broussard. We love to chop it up, and we're a good team, so that should be fun. And not to do too much teasing, but a little bit later this month, I will be hosting Undisputed with Broussard and LeVar Arrington for an entire week. That should be off the hook, so set the DVRs in advance. All right, let's get to a couple quick sports stories here. I'm sure you guys saw this Urban Meyer kerfuffle in Jacksonville, okay? Just so you guys know, the media doesn't love Urban Meyer because of the way it ended at Florida. He's a great coach. He is a good analyst. He was really good for Fox. And the media just doesn't like him because of all the arrests at Florida. I get it. I understand. I want to just say this. People are mad at Urban Meyer because he hired this director of sports performance, this controversial coach by the name of Chris Doyle. If you guys had forgotten who he was, in June of last year, he was fired by Iowa for making some... He was accused of making racial remarks, and they did an internal investigation, and they parted ways with him. Now, they did still pay him his salary, and I believe a chunk of whatever was left on his contract. So it's not like they fired him, you know, with cause. The investigation turned up enough to say, hey, we've got to get rid of this guy. But nothing that was like, hey, you were in breach of contract and we're not paying you. He made some stupid remarks, obviously some racist stuff. One that was quoted, he was trying to get this Iowa football player in the locker room, I guess to lift more or motivate or whatever. And this guy, Chris Doyle, says, maybe you should take up rowing or something, you know? Oh, wait, black people don't like boats in water, do they? It's like, what are you doing, dude? You can't say that. I'm surprised he didn't get slapped by the football player. That's a straight-up racist comment. Yes, that's unacceptable. Now, I'm gonna not defend Urban Meyer, but I'm gonna say this. Urban Meyer's known this guy for 20 years, going back to, I think it was Bowling Green. Urban Meyer has a longtime relationship with this coach, and relationships matter. You know, I know there's a lot of young guys listening to this in like the 18 to 21, 22 range. We have a lot of them, and you guys are always asking me for advice. I'm telling you this, relationships matter, okay? How did I get to FS1 with Cowherd and Fox Sports Radio? Some of you guys might know the story, some don't. So I had started a website back in 2006, and we did some critical stuff about the media, okay? And ESPN was a big target. I was doing the website anonymously. And you guys can read about this. It was written about by many websites. It turns out that on Colin Cowherd's first day when he got Tony Kornheiser's job, the show was simulcast on, I guess, ESPN News. But his first day, he decided to take a shot at the website I was running. Now, he didn't know me. Nobody did. I was anonymous. And I had never, to my knowledge, written about him on the site. And he made, you know, some remarks or whatever and basically said, oh, it would be great if we could knock that website out. And all the people who were listening, and again, this was ESPN Radio in its prime in like 2006 or 7. They went to the website, and of course, we were doing the thing on a shoestring budget. I didn't have a lot of money. I wasn't going to ring up a lot of credit card debt to start a website. I did it on the cheap. So we were hosting the website, no joke, in Romania for like $20 a month. And of course, all these people knock it offline, and there's this big deal, and Cowherd gets reprimanded by the ESPN ombudsman, and this was talked about on like NPR. It was crazy. At any rate, spin it forward, I reveal myself to Sports Illustrated, this is who I am, I do the blog, blah, blah, blah. And in like maybe 2 or 3 years later, I said, you know what, I should go profile Colin Cowherd. He's on the rise, and, you know, why don't I go write about him? Because I had been doing some profiles. I expanded from being a blogger to profiling some guys. I spent a day at the Big East tournament with Jay Billis. We did a lot of fun things. And I go up to Bristol. I drove from, you know, Pennsylvania up to Bristol, spent the night in a hotel, and then went to meet Cowherd. I'd never met him, never even spoken to him. ESPN PR brokered it. And I walk in, and he's like, oh, this is a normal guy. I got to remind you guys, this was like 2008, 2009? The perception of bloggers at the time was that they are losers in their parents' basement. They can't afford anything. They're trolls. The girls don't like them. They're out of shape. They're sitting in their pajamas all day. That was the perception of bloggers. It was a bad one. Remember, newspapers still dominated. Newspapers were upset at the blogs for making a run into their territory. The newspapers were the gatekeepers, and the bloggers were coming and saying, yo, why can't we cover the stuff the same way you guys do? We don't have the budget, we're not going to fly everywhere, but we can still aggregate some stuff and do original stuff. Why can't we? And the newspapers did not like us. And so we were painted as such, losers. And then I meet Cowherd, and everything changed. And Cowherd and I hit it off, and instantly he's like, yeah, here's my personal email, and we got to be buddies, and then, then he's like, oh, here's my number, text me any questions, and we became friendly. And Cowherd was one day hosting the Keith Olbermann show. I don't know if you guys remember, Keith Olbermann had a show on ESPN out of New York City, Times Square, and I think Jamie Horowitz was producing it. And he says, hey, Cowherd says, I want you to come meet Jamie Horowitz, he's producing the show, and come hang out with us. We'll go get a drink. And I'm like, wow, okay. So I drive up again from Pennsylvania to New York City, and I'll never forget this. Jamie Horowitz, who some of you don't know, ended up being the big boss at FS1, and there was an incident. He was fired about a year after I got there, 2017. He was obviously in with Cowherd doing the Olbermann show, producing it. And he calls me into his office as I get there, and he's like, hey, I wanna go over some stuff with you. I'd never met the guy, okay? Just walked in the door. And he's like, hey, so this story you broke, and he finds it, he Googles it and finds it, and he's like, I don't know how you got this, but that is an amazing job. However, Jason, and then he Googled like four others. He's like, you were way wrong on this. This wasn't even close. I don't know who your source is. You gotta stop talking to that guy. And then he would go to the next door, and he's like, you got this half right, okay? It's pretty clear which your source came from this guy's camp. And he was breaking down all my stuff. And I was like, wow, this guy knows my stuff. He's a reader. And at this point, it's pretty clear he's like a fan of my work. And we become friendly. And then we go out for drinks, me, him, and Cowherd. And I think someone else was with us. I don't remember. And we developed a relationship. And then spin it forward a few years. They get to FS1. Horowitz and Cowherd. Well, who do we want to bring on? And I get the call from the bullpen. Hey, Jason, you've never really done TV. What do you think? And relationships matter. That's how I got to FS1. A guy was a blogger, never met these big dogs in my life. And through a random circumstance, I end up meeting them. They bring me on to FS1, and I'm now out here in LA. And I know that's a long-winded way of getting to the Urban Meyer story. I don't know anything about Chris Doyle other than what I've read. He's a very good coach. He was the highest paid strength coach in college football, making $800,000 a year. So pretty good at his job. Then he made a bunch of idiotic, racist remarks. I don't know Chris Doyle, so if I'm in a position to hire someone, there's no way I'm touching that guy. A, he's radioactive. B, I don't want a clown like that on my staff. And C, I can't vouch for this guy as the head coach and put my name on the line for a guy who I don't know. Urban Meyer knows this guy. Obviously, they had some discussions. Hey, man, you screwed up. That's pretty clear. Also, that shit's not going to fly in an NFL locker room. You could try to belittle some college kids and talk down to them and maybe are a jerk and try to motivate them that way. That ain't going to work with millionaires. And this is going to be a big learning experience for this Chris Doyle, the new Jacksonville Jags director of sports performance. Urban Meyer is sticking his neck out for this guy. A lot of people do believe that people deserve second chances. And if you had worked with someone, and maybe they then broke away from you and they tried their own thing and they royally screwed up, you know, maybe you're the one to give them a second chance. It's tough for me to defend Urban Meyer. I'll say this. I understand why he's giving this guy a second chance because nobody else is touching Doyle. Nobody. And I'm not saying Urban Meyer's bulletproof in Jacksonville, but he's going to get a long leash, okay? He's got Trevor Lawrence. He's a great coach. He just made Jacksonville more popular than they've ever been maybe in the NFL. And I understand why he wants to give this guy a second chance. Will there be Jacksonville Jaguars who look at this guy saying, man, this racist, get this MF out of my face. Of course there's going to be players like that. There surely will be. I'm sure Doyle is going to be ready and he's going to have to handle that in a professional manner. You know? Is it the right move? I don't know. I can't tell. But I do understand why Urban Meyer's doing this. And for his sake, I hope it works out. Urban Meyer seems to be building a pretty good staff. I like this, what's his name? Charlie Strong out of Louisville. I'm a big fan of his work. I know he had hard times in Texas, but I really do like Charlie Strong added to the staff. Remember, he was the DC a couple times with Urban Meyer in Florida, and they won titles. So, I mean, I get the outrage over Urban Meyer. At the same time, I understand why he made the decision. All right, I quickly want to pivot to the NBA and touch on a couple things. Listen, I know we went heavy on the NBA with Noah Kozlov and BJ Armstrong as well, but I did want to get into this LeBron situation because they got two games this weekend, both nationally televised games. And the Lakers are creeping up on the Utah Jazz in the West, second best record. However, we got controversy. Of course there's controversy. It's the Lakers, it's LeBron James. What do you expect? Big news out of LA the last week or so. LeBron played 46 minutes against Detroit, double overtime game. Then LeBron played 43 minutes against OKC, overtime. Then 41 against OKC, another overtime game. Now the Lakers won them all, but is there trouble? Is LeBron playing too many minutes? Well, duh, of course he is. However, I don't think it's for the reason that everybody else thinks. Everybody thinks LeBron's just chasing the MVP award. Obviously he cares about the MVP. That's not the reason he's playing 46 minutes against the Pistons. That's not why he's doing it. The real reason LeBron's playing over 40 minutes and needs these wins is because of the Anthony Davis situation, which is actually bigger than the LeBron one, but nobody's talking about. Anthony Davis, who came to the Lakers with a history of injuries. Go look at his injury history in New Orleans. He was considered soft. He was considered brittle. Anthony Davis quietly has an Achilles issue. It's sore. It's tender. He's talking about, yeah, I can't really run that hard. I can't. Achilles. The NBA witnessed Kevin Durant rupture his Achilles against the Raptors. It, A, killed the Warriors' championship hopes. Some will say it killed the dynasty. I don't totally think they're done. We'll see. It ruined Durant's next season. He didn't play. And now he's coming back and looks great. But the Lakers and the league cannot have Anthony Davis go down with an Achilles. That would be catastrophic on so many fronts. Okay? However, it isn't as easy as, oh, well, if Anthony Davis doesn't play, well, LeBron doesn't have to play 40 minutes. Well, yeah, he kind of does sometimes. Not all the time. It's not a blanket statement. The Lakers cannot fall too far behind in the West. And I know what you're going to say. Well, who cares? Gosh, come on, give me a break, Jason. You can't be serious that Utah is a team you worry about. And potentially Denver and the Clippers. I mean, well, without a healthy Anthony Davis, yeah, I definitely would. They're not getting by those guys. That's obvious. And you don't want to lose layups. And that's what the Pistons are, worst team in the league. And OKC, which is a middling team that will end up near the bottom of the standings in the West. You can't lose those, especially when you look at six of their next eight games. National TV, I said two this weekend on ESPN. Six of their next eight are nationally televised games against pretty good opponents. And my guess is we're not seeing Anthony Davis this weekend. They do not need to force him back. So then you get in the question of, all right, well, if we rest LeBron, we're not beating these good teams. I mean, hell, I don't even know if the Lakers are beating Memphis without LeBron. Memphis is feisty. I got to give Memphis some credit, man. I thought they were going in the tank. I had somebody dropping me DMs. Hey, man, I was gonna bet on Memphis to lose like every game. They no Jackson, Ja Morant goes down. Does this team start tanking? And I was like, I don't know about all that. They're not. I don't think they're very good. I can see that team struggling, but right now, Memphis is 10-10. They've played fewer games than everybody due to COVID, but this is not a terrible team. They're feisty, and the Lakers have them tonight. After that, on Sunday, they have a rematch against Denver. Now, they smoked Denver last time out, and you know Denver's going to be looking for some sort of revenge. Denver also kind of struggling, scuffling, and they're going to be a team that, you know, they're going to be better than what they have been so far. But then after that, the Lakers' schedule is like, ooh, this ain't easy. And listen, as much as I like Horton Tucker and Kuz and Markieff Morris, I don't think you can expect a LeBron-less, AD-less Lakers to go toe-to-toe with Brooklyn, who they have coming up next week, against Miami, which is finally getting healthy, next weekend, against Utah in about 12 days, and then Portland. Like, this is a tough schedule. Now, then the question becomes, well, Jason, how much should you play LeBron? And I don't have an answer to that. The problem being is, how is Frank Vogel going to say to LeBron, yo, LeBron, just chill, sit for the final 20 minutes? If they're getting dusted, yeah, LeBron sits out. But he knows the relevance of these TV games and that chase for the MVP. There was an ESPN straw poll conducted this week that said LeBron narrowly is the MVP over Joel Embiid. Now, Embiid is on the Sixers, and they are dominating. They are wrecking, absolutely wrecking the East. Milwaukee just isn't there. One of my guys texted me, like, we need to start fading Milwaukee against anybody who's remotely good. They've beaten nobody this year. I haven't had a chance to look into it, but their point differential is best in the NBA, plus 9.5. So they are smoking the bad teams. But if the Sixers win the East and Embiid is able to play, I don't know, what, 65 out of 72 games, there's a chance he's going to win it. And then it becomes, well, does LeBron get the sentimental vote? Because he's 36 years old and the Lakers are a top three team in the West. You know, hopefully Utah falls off a little bit and the Lakers can pass him. But Utah is just playing ridiculously well right now. I mean, think about this. The MVP historically has gone to the best player on the best team. You know, there's a couple exceptions. Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double comes to mind. But by and large, you got to be, you know, one of the top seeds in either of the conferences. If AD misses considerable time, Lakers, there's a chance they could fall to 4 or 5. And that could hinder LeBron's MVP. Now, then you get into the debate of, why does the league keep screwing LeBron in the MVP hunt? We talked with this about Noah earlier in the week. LeBron, folks, in what is just an unbelievable stat. 14 of the last 15 seasons, he's been top five in the MVP race. Unbelievable stuff. The one season he wasn't, he was injured his first year in LA. And because I know you're asking, well, what about Jordan, Jay? What about Jordan? Okay. I have that because I looked it up. I knew you would ask. In 10 of 11 seasons, Jordan finished in the top three. Now, there was one season when he quit to go play baseball. The other season, since we're docking LeBron for his injury, I'm going to put Michael Jordan in and count the season. He only played 17 games after the baseball strike, and he returned to the NBA. People like to scrub that season from history. I know it's not totally fair. He only played 17 games. But we forget they lost to the Orlando Magic in the playoffs. And Jordan got picked by Donald Royale in like a pivotal moment late in the game. And Orlando closed out the series. So Jordan, top three in the MVP 10 of 11 seasons. LeBron, top five in the MVP 14 of 15 seasons. And yes, if LeBron wants to play more, sure. It's because he's chasing another MVP. How many does Michael Jordan have? Five. How many does LeBron have? Four. And it's one of those situations where you could argue, well, wait a minute, why does LeBron only have four? Why is he getting screwed out of MVPs? He could have been the MVP last year. Giannis even said as much, you know? Giannis even said, yeah, LeBron was the best player in the league last year. My vote would have been for Jordan, would have been for LeBron if I had a vote. It's tough for me to say, I'm not going to go through every MVP award and say, wow, he won it 9, 10, 12, 13, and then none? Well, you know, Steph Curry emerged, and you couldn't give it to LeBron over Curry. Not when they won 73 games, and not when he had, you know, that incredible season where he was the first unanimous MVP in league history. You know, the Derrick Rose season, Derrick Rose was good, but it came to the playoffs. D. Rose and the Bulls won game one, and I'll never forget that series because I was like, oh my gosh, LeBron? He went to the East? He went to the Heat? And he's not even going to get to the finals? After game one, the overreactions were hilarious. And then what did LeBron do? I got D. Rose in the fourth quarter. Rose was rendered irrelevant. LeBron and the Heat just absolutely destroy them. And, you know, I go back and I say, I'm sorry. I you know, Rose was great. But, you know, LeBron should have been the MVP. And then this gets into a discussion. Well, what about that time Steve Nash? You know, Shaq gets all bent out of shape about how Steve Nash stole an MVP from him. And listen, if you really want to get silly and you do the LeBron-Jordan comparisons, then yeah, another MVP's not going to hurt him. And winning the title is important to LeBron this year. I'm going to add this, and I don't know how much stock we can put in it. But the more you talk to people, the more they start to get a sense that there will be fans at NBA games at the NBA playoffs. That's the vibe I'm getting. Now, remember, the playoffs are still 2-3 months out, okay? Numbers are coming down nationwide. Vaccines getting dispersed much quicker. I'm hearing from, you know, friends in their 40s who are starting to get the vaccine around the country. So before it was only the 85 and up, the 75 and up. I'm hearing that you know, people my age and in the vicinity are starting to get the vaccine. That's great. And what I would love is if the NBA said, you can come to playoff games if you show proof that you've had the vaccine. Obviously, you know, it's only 95%, but it's clearly enough. Would you have to wear a mask in the stadium? I don't know. I mean, maybe the players are vaccinated by that time. I don't know. But you know, NBA fans are going to change the complexion of the playoffs for sure. Like, Utah can get loud. Denver can get loud. I still think the Lakers have a monster edge against the Clippers if they were to face off in the playoffs. And again, if the Lakers get two and the Clippers get three, that's a semifinal matchup where you've got to go through Kawhi and Paul George. Assuming Paul George is hurt, you know, he also is injured right now. I think LeBron is trying to do it all. I'm sure he just saw Brady and said, I can do this. Brady don't take games off. It's obviously significantly different. But it'll be interesting when you watch the Lakers this weekend. How much does Vogel rest LeBron? And can he try to get by with Horton Tucker, Kuz, Wes Matthews? Like, these are good players. I think the Lakers have the best depth in the league. But remember, they're good when LeBron or AD is on the court with them. I don't know who's carrying them. Sorry, guys, it ain't KCP, that's for sure. It's going to be fascinating to watch. The Lakers have a lot of interesting games ahead, and that playoff race in the West is about to get interesting. All right, and to wrap up the podcast, I was going to dive into this Russell Wilson controversy, or should I say non-troversy? Come on, guys. What are we doing? Are we that desperate to talk about football that we're going to make this Russell Wilson? Oh, he's angry. Could he be traded? No. What are we wasting time and energy for? I can't believe I just wasted 25 seconds even discussing upset Russell Wilson. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's the best player in franchise history. He's upset. People get upset. Maybe they should put some talent around him. Build a defense. Get an offensive line. Like, no, Russell Wilson's not getting traded. Next story. All right, everybody have a great Valentine's weekend. I hear the Northeast is getting more snow. I pity you guys. Trust me, many years of using a snowblower, did not like it. But, you know, as I found out when I went to the dentist on Thursday out here in L.A., a lot of people are leaving L.A. County and the general area. Like, they're just sick of it. The taxes are about to go up. That ain't fun. The lockdown, that sucked. I don't know. We're not going anywhere. I like it out here. And hope you guys like it wherever you are and have a great weekend.